Grab your notes. When is the last time you saw something with your own eyes, but you thought, that is so shocking, I can't even believe that? And let me play my cards up front. The story of Noah, or Jonah, is sort of shocking because it's this guy that gets swallowed by this huge fish. And even though people saw it with their own eyes, it's a little hard to believe. And here's why I believe it, because Jesus believed it. I'm Robin. I'm the lead pastor here. Welcome to Eastlake. And Jesus talked a lot about Jonah. He believed the story, so I make it really simple. If he believes it, if someone can rise from the dead, I'm going with his ideas. Jesus believed in Jonah. He believed that there was a true story about Jonah. And really, it's a story about running from God. Jonah's a person that is running from what God wants to do in his life. He doesn't trust what God wants to do in his life, so he runs away. And maybe you know someone like that. At some point, it could be very clear, and they start to run away from God, and they run a long ways from God. They're not with God anymore. They used to be, but they're not now. They've run a long ways away, and they've stayed away. They've run a long ways away from the Lord. Or maybe you're even here today, and there was a time in your life where you could say, you know, I ran away from God too. He wanted to do some things in my life, and I didn't trust him to do it, so I ran away. Or maybe you're here, and like me, you're sort of in this category. You're on the Jesus team. I mean, you're with him. But there's something specific in your life that God wants to do. And as soon as he starts to go towards that area, you run away. You know, can I trust him to do something in my life? I'm on the Jesus team. I want to be with God. I've got my fire insurance. I'm doing that. And then he comes for a certain area of my life, and I run away. Starts to talk to me about being generous with my money. I'm like, whoa, no, Lord. Don't talk to me about that. That's an area of my life, God. And you start to run away. Or he wants you to forgive someone that's wronged you. And you're like, well, no, Lord. And you run away. Or he wants you to say sorry or apologize to someone. And you run away in that area of your life. Or I've done something. You've done something wrong to someone. And you know God's saying, go to them and ask for forgiveness. And you say, no, Lord. And you run away. See, the story of Jonah is everybody's story, because there's always some time in our life, our walk with God, where we run away, or there's some period in our life or some area in our life where we run away from the Lord. We can't trust him to do what he wants to do in our lives. It's the big idea this weekend. You can write it down. You can trust Jesus or you can run from Jesus. Do I trust him when he wants to do something in my life? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to read through the story. I'll make some comments, and at the end, I'll have two things I want to say to you and to me about what it is to run from God. So let's start. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord, circle that, and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, let me give you some context. Jonah's Jewish. He lives in Israel. And Nineveh is 500 miles to the north. We'd call it Iraq now. And he heads 2,500 miles south, to the south of Spain, to Tarshish, which is sort of like the Las Vegas of its day. It's the resort center in the south of Spain. So God tells him very, very clearly. He says what he wants him to do, where to go, 500 miles north. And Jonah goes 2,500 miles in the other direction. You know what that is? That's telling God a huge, flat-out, no way, God. The Lord tells me, I want you to go back to school, and it's going to be difficult, but I have things going on. I want you to do this. Go back to school. You're going to work full time, but go back to school. No way, God. The Lord tells me to take a certain class in college I don't want to take. No way, God. Tells me to stay at my job. I get a chance to transfer, take a promotion with another company. And the Lord says, no, stay where you're at. I'm still teaching you some things. And it's no way, God. And this isn't an accident. These aren't circumstances that are just sort of happening. Did you catch it that he found a boat? I mean, you know, you can put a lot of effort into telling God no. And you can put a lot of effort into going the opposite direction. And he pays his own way. That's when I say to myself, or maybe you've seen someone in your life before and you've gone to me and said, listen, do you know how much it's going to cost you if you decide to do this? And they say yes. I knew a person that was in the ministry, and he hung out way too much with this girl on staff, and now the feelings start up, because they always will. I am convinced that you could be shipwrecked on a desert island with a woman 96 years old, and after a certain length of time, if you spend lots of time together, you will sin. And so that's what he did. He was stupid about it. She comes into his office. She sits on his desk, and he's attracted to her. And this is what she said. He starts, you know, whatever. And she said, you know, if you do this, it'll cost you your ministry. And as he started to unbutton his her blouse, he said, I know it will. I mean, sometimes we know exactly what it's going to cost us, and we still do it. Jonah finds a boat. He puts a lot of effort into it, and then he pays the fare. He knows what it's going to cost. Here's what I've discovered. Even though I know the results, it doesn't always stop me if I'm running from God. So he finds this boat and he decides, okay, and then he pays the expenses and he gets on the boat, and now he's heading for Vegas. He's heading for the south of Spain. Here he goes, he's off, he goes. And as he's doing this, God has said exactly what he wants. And so here's my question. Are you telling God just a straight up no way in any area of your life? That's where we are in the story. Let's keep reading. Jonah says, no way, God, I'm not doing it. Here's God's response. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. So I've seen this many, many times. A young woman, you know, God says, it's not time for you to have a relationship. I don't want you into relationships yet. I mean, there's lots of healing has to happen, or something has to happen in your life. It's not time for you to have a relationship. But he's so cute. And he's got a cool car. And so they don't listen. And they get into their relationship, and eventually it breaks up. And they do it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Because they're running away from what God wants for their life. I choose the wrong job. I choose sex. I choose pornography. I choose whatever, drugs, whatever it is. And I move away from the Lord. And eventually, here's the problem, it breaks up. And there I'm left. And that's what happens here. The storm comes up and threatens to break it up. Let's keep going. All the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God. That's interesting. Jonah's not crying out to God at all. He's very angry and indifferent. But they're crying out to their own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea, which is the whole point of the voyage. So that's pretty crazy. You already went to, you know, Walmart, and you got all the groceries, and someone comes up with a machine gun and starts shooting. You jump in your car, and you drive off, and you leave like $300 of groceries there, which is the whole point of going to Walmart. That's what's happening. So they throw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship, but Jonah had gone below deck where he laid down and fell into a deep sleep. Are you kidding me? So the sailors, now these are salty sailors. They do this for a living. So, man, when the storm is scaring them, this is like a pretty crazy weather thing going on, and Jonah is down below sleeping. Now, listen, this can happen to you. When you're running away from what God wants to do in your life, you don't see the impact on other people. I'm running away from God, and it's my life. I can do whatever I want, and that's true. But do I see the impact? The sailors didn't do anything wrong. Here's the truth. When I run from God, it causes things for people around me too. And Jonah's sleeping. I mean, how oblivious can you be? And I have discovered this about my life. When I'm running away from what God wants me to do, it's like I'm sound asleep. I can't even see what I'm causing for other people. I mean, they're up on the top of the boat throwing the cargo overboard. Jonah's luggage is gone now. He didn't even know it. He's sound asleep. Have you ever tried to wake somebody up? You're just trying to wake them up. You're like, they don't even see what they're causing for anybody in the family or any of the relationship. Nobody at work, and it's just like they're sound asleep. It's just like that's how much he doesn't care. Anger goes two places, violence or indifference. And when you become indifferent, it's like you're sound asleep. You don't even see what's going on around you. So here he's running now, and he doesn't get his impact. Okay, let's keep reading. So the sailors, here they are right here. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? That's a great question. Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. Now, listen, in our world, there is an order of authority. You may not like your parents or your boss or your mom and dad or anybody like that, but the truth is we all live underneath authority, and God always uses the authority. Even if you don't like the governor or the mayor or who's in charge, you don't like your boss, they're a jerk, or she's a bad girl. And so, I mean, and you don't like them, and they could be ungodly and all the rest. They're still in authority. So the captain comes up. Here's why. God will always use authority to try to wake me up. So maybe somebody at your boss is trying to wake you up at job. He's trying to wake you up, and you don't want to listen because I'm not listening to you. You're a totally ungodly person. You're greedy. You're a thief. They're still in charge. The captain comes and tries to wake him up. He's the captain. He's in charge. Wake up, wake up. Wait, don't you see what's going on here? Is there anybody that you're discounting in your life and they're an authority? You don't want anything to do with it because you just don't like them. Pastoral authority, somebody at work. I mean, you've discounted them. And the truth is they're still an authority. The captain comes and says this to Jonah. Let's keep going. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let's cast lots to find out. So now they're going to try magic. Let's cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity. They cast the lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So now they're throwing dice. And life could get so bad, even Christ followers, I can't figure it out. What's going on? What's going to happen? So they go online and take a little peek at their horoscope. You know, it's like you're just desperate. They decide to try magic. And here's the crazy thing. I mean, it's in the Bible. God uses it. He gets in the middle of it. And now Jonah's busted. So they roll the dice. It's kind of like process of elimination. They roll it up. No, not you. Roll the dice. No, not you. They roll the dice, and they're like, it's like, you know, Ouija board. And it, like, here's Jonah. He's busted. Let's see what they say to him. So they asked him, tell us who's responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you, where do you come from, what is your country, from what people are you? So they want an explanation. Now that they've got him cornered, they're like, hey man, what is up? You know, like, hey dude, like, who are you and what have you done and what's going on here? Like, you know, who do you think you are? That's the sailors. He answered, I'm a Hebrew and I worship the Lord God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. This terrified them. Circle that. This terrified them. And I want to stop there for a second. They're already scared because of the storm, and now they're more scared. Catch this now. Now they're more scared because they're with someone that's running from God. So they're already scared. Salty sailors now. They're already scared because of big, big weather, and now they're more scared. So I do want to ask you the question. When you see someone run away from God, does it terrify you at all? Or is it just like, nah, you know what, everybody gets to choose their own religion and do their own thing, and it all pan out in the end. They run away from their family, we're scared. They run away from their job, we're scared. They quit college, we're scared. They go off their diet, we're scared. We're already scared. But if they run away from God, does it terrify you? Or is it like, we live in America, man, whatever. They'll be okay. I mean, it's a, these sailors, they're pretty smart. They're like, whoa, now it's just got worse. We got a guy on board that's running from God. Who knows what's going to happen now? Do you know anyone in your life and you know they're running from God? Does it bring up any emotion at all for you? Or has it just become, eh, that's how life goes. People don't walk with God. Someone in your family, some friend of yours, they walked away along to you, just forgot about it. You'd be more concerned if you got a call from them saying, they sprained their ankle. Oh, they did. Wow, they need help. Dinner sent over. But they're running from God. Does it scare you at all? That's what's happening here. The salty sailors, they're terrified. So here's what it is. I'm a Hebrew. So what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he already told them so. Interesting here. So here's what's going on with this guy. He's got a lot of issues, but he's an honest sailor. They come to him. These sailors say, what are you doing? And here's what I've discovered. If there's a shred of honesty left in me, there's hope for me. Jonah has a lot of issues, but he's still honest. He's still willing to say, no, I'm running from God. Okay? The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to you, circle that, to make the sea calm down for us? Stop for a second. So here's what this means. Here's what they say. They say, this is crazy. My life is, it's not calm. I don't like it. Jonah, what do we need to do to you so things can get better for us? Now think about work, family, kids, anything like that, and do you ever find yourself thinking, if I could just get them, if they would only, things would calm down for me, if these kids would just, that's the mentality. Jonah, what should we do to you so our life could go better? And I get trapped in that all the time. I see somebody doing something, I'm like, shh, if I could just get them to stop doing that, or I could just get them to start doing this, my life would be so much better. Here's the problem. I can't control them. They used to call that codependency, like whatever you do, that's what my life depends on. And that's where the sailors are now. They go to Jonah and they say, listen, what do we need to do to you? And have you thought of that ever? Like, what? Okay, what do I need to do to this person? What do I need to do to them to get my life to settle down? Now remember, Jonah's really super committed, so it's like the little girl that got the new bicycle and her parents gave it to her, and she's riding it up and down in the driveway, and the dad's not home, it's just the mom. And you're not allowed to go out onto the sidewalk or across the street, and right down the sidewalk she goes. She knows she's doing it. She's just like Jonah. She's like committed to it. And so her mom goes out, I told you, you're not allowed to ride your bicycle. Get back up here. You're going to be in the driveway. Don't do it again. Goes in the house, looks out the window, she's off across the street like crazy. You know, a little girl bike, pink things hanging from the little steering wheel, basket on the front. Looks girly. So anyway, she's on one of those. And she comes out, she says, well, I told you. Now, here's the big line right here. Next time you're getting a spanking, if you do that. Because she always loved parents that do the counting. You know, those kind of parents. You see them like at McDonald's and their kids are over in the playland. They got knives and chains and they're killing each other. It's like, I'm counting to three. One. They don't even hear one. Two. The kids start laughing. Mom's counting again. Two and a half. They're not listening. Two and three quarters. I'm coming over there. This is the last time I'm telling you. I'm counting one. And they're not listening. Well, that's this little girl. So finally, you know, the mom says, one more time, I'm spanking you. And they always say it like that. You raise up your hand. I'm spanking you. Dad grabs his belt. I'm spanking you. You know, a spanker, deal with it. So anyways, so here's what happens. She comes out, goes home, gets in, looks out. The girl's right down, just fast as can be gone. She comes out, get back here. The neighbors now are watching. The true story. I told you were getting a spanking. Little girl rolls up on her bike, says, well, you better spank me now because I got places to go. That's Jonah. Defiant. Knows exactly what he's doing. And the question is, in your life, is there anything you know God wants to do in your life, and that's where you're at? It's like I'm willing to go through the consequences. So here's this story now. The sailors, they ask him these questions, and it says, what do we have to do to make it calm down for us? Listen to what Jonah says. Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. I want to ask the question. When is the last time you went to someone and said, it's my fault? And if it's been a long time, are you really that perfect? You haven't made any mistakes in any of your relationships anywhere? When is the last time, honestly now, you remember going into a situation, to a person, and maybe it was only your fault once, like my marriage, about one of them's mine and 20 is Clarice's, but once in a while, it's my fault. And so, but you go and you say to someone, you know what? This is my fault. And I have discovered that it only hurts until it comes out, and then it feels so great. Here is Jonah, and he's being honest. He's just saying, you know, I know this whole thing is my fault. What relationship do you have in your life, and it really would be time to go and just take your part of the blame? This is my fault. And you're wondering, why am I so caught up in knots, and things aren't going well, and I don't feel great about it at all? And you just never have gone to him and said, this is my fault. And so here's what happens. It's my fault. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before, circle wilder. So this is what's crazy. You see someone's life and you think, man, this is so out of control. And then they even do more things and you go, I didn't think it could get any worse or wilder. This is just one point I want to make. Life can always get wilder. So just check in. It can always get wilder. That's what's happening here. Then they cried out to the Lord, the sailors now, please, Lord, do not let us die before for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you please. That's a good statement. Then the Lord, okay, so then they took Jonah, they threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. So here's the story. Jonah says, I don't really care what happens to him. He's totally indifferent. He's still mad at God. He's not talking to God. He doesn't say anything to God at all. And the sailors now, catch it, because this is a story about sailors too. The sailors try to figure it out, and they don't want to do it. He says, here's what'll work. Throw me into the sea. Like, no, we're not doing that, you know. Then they finally decide we're doing it. And I'm sure there was mixed emotions when they make the decision to throw Jonah into the water, and all of a sudden it comes be totally calm. And the initial thing when things get calm in your life is relief. Then they realize what they've done. They're like, crap, we threw a human being into the water. We can't do that. Maybe someone said, you know, get a life preserver and throw it to him. In other words, don't do that, man. God does what he pleases. He'll bring the whole thing back. And here's the point. When you make right choices in your life, sometimes feelings come afterward and you're not going to like them. I've been in lots and lots and lots of times of intervention with families and people, and when you do an intervention, you have to make a very difficult choice, but it's the best choice, and then the feelings follow. You have to ask your son to move out of the house. You have to stop giving someone money. You have to allow someone to end up on the streets. Very difficult choices, but they're the best choices, and guess what happens? All these feelings just come in afterwards. Because sometimes in life, when you make the best choice, you don't like the feelings that accompany it. When you have to discipline your children, I've told you no. Now you're not watching TV again, and you're not, no friends over. I mean, you really have to bring the discipline, and their little lip goes down, especially if it's a little girl. Oh, and then you have the feelings come on, and you cave in. Sometimes you don't like the feelings. When you have to set boundaries in a friendship because somebody's going someplace, come on, we're going to, you know, and you know you can't go there with them, and you have to set boundaries, and you don't like the feelings when they say, oh, psh, Mr. Religious, you don't like the feelings. You have to tell somebody no that you always say yes to. Someone in the family, always say yes. This time you have to tell them no, 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 I can't do it. And it was the best thing. But you don't like the feelings. This is like an intervention going on here with Jonah. And the sailors are a part of it, and they have to do a very difficult thing. They have to throw him into the open water, and they have to watch him sink down underneath the water. Oh, it's the best thing. But don't read the story, got none of that, let's get on to south of Spain. They just killed a man. And sometimes when you make a really, really difficult decision in your families, your friends, it's the very best thing, but it just makes it feel like something's going to die. What do I do with the feelings when I made the best decision, but I don't like how I feel right now? And the best thing in the world, look what the sailors do, because they really show us the way to do it. Look what the sailors do. Okay. At this time, the men, the sailors, greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. So check out these salty sailors. They have to make a decision. It's the best choice, but here comes all the feelings afterwards, and they turn to the Lord. I told you if you did that again, you weren't going to use the car for an entire month, but I'll miss the dance. You're right, you'll miss the dance. Off to the room they go crying, and you feel terrible about it. And what do I do with my feelings? Turn to the Lord. You have to confront your boss because he's cheating and he's greedy and he has favoritism and you can see it all. And God says, you're the one that gets to go and say, I think this isn't okay. I don't like these feelings after talking. Turn to the Lord. That's the picture here. Do you know oftentimes why I don't make the best choice? Because I don't want to deal with the feelings that I know are coming right afterwards. The sailors figure it out somehow. They're like, oh man, I don't like how this feels. We just killed a guy. Yeah, life's better for us, but, and they turn to the Lord. And you have to wonder with these sailors what their language was like when they turned to the Lord. You know sailors. Sailors' language can be pretty colorful. If you've ever been around a sailor, somebody who's been in the Navy or something like that, I mean, they can have some pretty colorful language. Sometimes a new person will come in and will be praying, and it's always interesting to hear this type of thing because, like, you know, you get done with the prayer and they're sort of like, damn right, God! And you're like, okay. I mean, you know, because they're just new and they don't clean up their language. And the sailors start to talk to God, and maybe you don't talk to God very often because you feel like you have to clean up your language. Here's these old salty sailors, and they just turn to God. When I first became a Christ follower, I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what to say. Every time I saw anybody pray, they looked like they were giving a speech. I was like, I can't do that good. How am I supposed to pray? Unfortunately, I got around to some regular, normal people, and I listened to how they talked to God, and it sounded just like how we all talked. Do you know, these sailors probably just let it fly like they always talk to God, and some of you would really benefit if you would go out in the garage and have an adult conversation with the Lord. He can handle it. He's heard a swear word before. Now, I'm not advocating to go out in your garage and cuss out God. And I'm not saying you go home to my pastor said it's okay to swear at God. I'm not saying any of that. Here's what I am saying. The Lord would much rather talk to a sailor than not have any conversation. He just wants to talk with you. And some of right now in this room, there's decisions you have to make, and you do not like the feelings that you know are coming. I don't want to feel that. So you're not going to make it. Unless you were willing to be like these sailors and make the decision and then turn to the Lord. Now here's the end of it, the end of the story. It's kind of like a three-part sitcom we're going to do on these Sundays. Here's the very end. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So catch this now. This is where it's going to end. It's going to be a cliffhanger right now. Part one, we just got done. Three parts, we'll go through it all. We don't even know why Jonah's angry yet. We just know he's very, very angry. He's indifferent. He has not said a word to God in this entire first hour of the show we're watching. He's like, not at all this part of the story. We don't know why, and we're just going to leave it right there, because that's where it's at. All we know is that now the unbelievable part comes up, the shocking part. Apparently a fish comes and gets him. And if you have trouble with the story, just please keep this in mind. If God could create a fish out of nothing, then he can do these type of miracles. I'll just leave it there. If he can rise from the dead, so here's where the story ends. This fish comes and gets Jonah, and we're just left right there. It's like, wow. Wonder where this is going. It's a cliffhanger. What's going to happen? You'll have to come next week and see, because that's the story. Now, two things let's look at, and these will get us done. Number one, the opposite direction is worse. If you're running, if you're thinking of running, if you know someone's running, if there's an area of your heart you're going to run in, the opposite direction is worse. Jonah thinks he's going to end up in Vegas, in the south of Spain, in Tarshish, and he doesn't. He ends up in a fish. Please get the facts of the story. If I run, I do not trust what God's going to do with my... If I run, it'll end up worse. He doesn't end up in Spain. He ends up in a fish. Let me tell you why. When God wants to do something in my life and I run from it, I'm running from the wisdom of the Lord. Because he's wise enough to know. He's very, very smart. He's wise enough to know what needs to occur in my life. And when I run from it, I'm running from his wisdom. I'm saying, no, Lord, you're really not smart enough to trust. And we run from his wisdom. And listen, when I'm running away, I oftentimes don't even see what I'm running towards. I don't think Jonah ever thought, you know what would be a good idea? Get swallowed by a fish. That'll make everything great. He never saw it coming. When you run from the wisdom of the Lord, what God wants to do in your life, when you run from the wisdom of the Lord, the greatest mistake, probably one of the greatest for sure, that I've made in ministry many, many years ago, I was helping someone escape. They were running. They wanted to escape something in their life. About 35 years old, she'd been in a wheelchair most of her life, and she wanted to escape being lonely. And she hadn't had any boys or men pay any attention to her, and she was in our church, and I kind of know her. She was just the greatest. And this man started to pay attention to her, and I didn't know who the man was. He didn't go to the church. She told me about him. This man started to pay attention to me. Would you be willing to meet him? I said, yeah, I'd be willing to meet him. And so she brings this man after church one day, and he comes, and red flags right off the bat. And then when I saw how he treated her and I listened to his words, red flags right off the bat. And so I got together with her afterwards, and I said, I don't know about this dude, man. I mean, he don't even think he's walking with God, and I didn't think the way he talked to you was right. But I could just see in her eyes, she just really believed he's my only chance to escape from loneliness. So I went along with him. I did the wedding, and they got married. We ran away from God's wisdom. She wanted. Do you know, an escape mentality is so dangerous. And she wanted to escape from loneliness, and I wanted to help her escape from loneliness, and so I caved in and I did the wedding. And 2 months later, he started to physically abuse her. And that's when I realized we ran away from God's wisdom. Her and I had to dig our way out of that thing that we had gone into. I mean, it was okay to want to escape loneliness, but it wasn't okay to run away from God's wisdom. And both of us just looked the other way, and I felt really bad because it's my job to cover that stuff and go, no, we can't go there, girl. Escape mentality, very dangerous. What are you trying to escape in your life? And it's okay because you should want to escape from it, but listen, if you go the opposite direction from God's wisdom, it'll turn out worse. God wanted to do something in our lives. It was very wise. He wanted to show me, even though you're a pastor, you're a young pastor, it's not your job to rescue everybody. And he wanted to show her, you're valuable enough to be loved. You don't have to just settle for anybody that would pick you. I have something going. Someone's going to cherish you if you'll just trust me. I'm just saying, if you're running in any area of your life, it will end up worse. Jonah did not get to Spain. It ended up worse. Then the second thing, write in your notes, eventually my life unravels. This is a true story. A girl told it to me. I didn't see it with my own eyes, but I trusted her when she told me the story. Her and her friends are out at a restaurant. There's like five or six of them. They're having a really, really great time. And they all, you know how girls do, they all go to the bathroom. They all go into the restroom together. I don't know what it is about girls and going to the restroom, but they like to go like in tribes and packs, and so they all go inside there. And in my opinion, men use restrooms the correct way. They keep it like a library. You go one at a time. You don't speak to one soul when you go in there. You come out. I mean, restrooms are sacred places. It's not places to socialize. But women seem to think they're like social places. And so they all go together. All the women are having a big, big time. And when they're coming out of the restroom, there's like five or six of them. They come out. And as they all go outside, they get about 10 feet away from the door. And this girl, somehow, some toilet paper had gotten stuck in her skirt and was trailing behind her all the way to the door to the restroom. Well, of course, they start laughing. They think it's the funniest thing ever. She's walking along, toilet paper all the way behind her. They go and they open the door, and it had come all the way from the area that was the toilet paper roll was unraveling behind her. And she didn't even know. The part of the story I like is all the girls acted like guys at this point. They didn't feel battered. They laughed their butts off at her. Because they were like, this is the funniest thing ever. But here was the thing about it. She didn't even realize it was unraveling. Jonah doesn't just end up in a fish. His life is unraveling. He doesn't even see it. He doesn't see the storm, the sailors, the captain. He doesn't see any of it. It's just unraveling right before him. He doesn't see any of it. And this is a very dangerous thing about running from what God wants to do in your life. Your life will unravel, and you won't even see it. You won't even know it's unraveling until you're inside the fish. It won't even occur to you. People in authority may try to come and say, listen, you need to change the way. No, I don't want anything to do with it. You could be sound asleep. You don't see what you're causing for anybody else. You don't get the storm. Oh, I'm in debt. I got lots of stuff going. I'll be okay. You don't see it. Your life's unraveling when you run from God. And the thing in this story that's amazing is God sends a fish. Because if Jonah would have ever gotten to Tarshish, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that it's not a good idea for a man to go to Vegas and spend the weekend when he's angry and indifferent and depressed. Vegas is not the place to be. And so in his mercy, he sends a fish to stop the unraveling. Just to stop it. And here's the bottom line this weekend. You can run from God, but you can't outrun God. And that's where the story ends today. Jonah's inside of a fish, much worse because his life was unraveling.